I'm Kara Lawrence. This is WMUK. And next, a conversation with a former and the current director of Fontana Chamber Arts in Kalamazoo. Pianist Paul Nitsch led the festival for 9 years, ending in 2001. David Baldwin joined Fontana in 2012. We began our discussion by talking about Fontana's founder, horn player Neil Saunders. Paul Nitsch did not have the pleasure of meeting him in person, but in taking the reins of Fontana, learned a great deal about his character.
Well, of course, I knew his wife, Ann Mead, quite well. In those days, she was on the board, and she, she told many, many stories about Neil. And everybody who ever said anything about Neil had a tremendous respect, not only for his incredible playing, but his personality and his care for the festival that he started out there in Shelbyville and for the people that came to play. He was on hand full-time every day.
It's the way I've heard it told. It was kind of a crazy dream to buy the storefront and imagine it to be a music venue out in the middle of some cornfields out in Shelbyville.
Pretty much is what it was, with the rail train tracks right next door. It was absolutely charming, and those people who have gone there and would remember it still speak of it with great love, because it was a unique place, and there's ice cream cones on the porch and Ann Mead's art hanging all over, and this dilapidated old storefront. It was a country store at one time.
So it was impressed upon you that there was a somewhat quirky legacy to continue. And what did you see yourself as doing to continue or to expand?
Well, it was once I learned a lot about Neil, it was the first thing to do was to establish the Salute to Neil concerts. That was the first thing to do, no question about it. And everybody appreciated that, and that helped kind of bind what was Fontana without Neil to the new leadership, and so that helped quite a bit. And then from then on, it was pretty much what did Neil like to do? Well, we always had a lot of French horn things, but he had at some point in his life, and I don't know if you remember, these mimeograph machines that, you know, you would type something and then run it off and it'd be kind of purple print. You're probably too young to know about that. Anyway, he had created over I don't know how many years a repertoire list of horn literature that was probably 75 pages of single-spaced typewritten information, which I still have a copy of.
Kind of valuable.
But I left it, of course, the original copy in the Fontana office, and it is a trip. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
It is, like, irreplaceable, because there are hundreds of pieces in this collection of information that nobody's ever heard of. And I don't even know we can find the music, but Neil knew about it. So that was the horn heritage for sure.
There were also some what you could call maybe legacy players from the 80s that continued to grace the season during Fontana's summer festival.
Yes. They were all special. Janet Hilton was one of the really special people who came all the way from England every summer. Happily, and brought her husband David, and sometimes the kids were young. And I still play with Janet from time to time. She'll email or call, and she says, "Well, I'm coming to do a concert in North Carolina. So I'll set up something." So I've probably seen her at least every 3 years since, which is just wonderful. And then Deborah Moriarty was a very important part of this. She was the original crew, too, for the pianist.
Right, from Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a concert with Ralph Vodopek on Tuesday, bringing him back, and he was also every other year.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that was a staple. People complained. First thing they said, "Are you going to bring Ralph back?" I said, "Yes, we will have Ralph back."
I'm sure he was very welcome on Tuesday.
Well, he always is.
How long were you director?
9 years.
9 years. Mm-hmm. And then South Carolina came calling.
Well, that's at the time when the merger between what was the Kalamazoo Chamber Music Society and then Fontana came about. And the question was, what would I pick up and go with that? And so I had to battle with the idea of moving all my life up to Kalamazoo or not. And finally, I just, you know, I've got my little tenured university job. I probably ought to pass this on and let somebody do this. So that was not an easy decision, because I certainly have lots of love for this community, and many people who are here that I've known for a long time are still very close friends.
What's it been like to come back for this week?
It's just fantastic. it's a gift, and I'm so grateful to David for allowing this to happen. And I'm thankful to Phyllis Rappaport for twisting his arm into this.
She didn't have to twist too hard. We're thrilled to have you here.
But yeah, it's great to see old people and play things that I did play here.
As an administrator, seeing what the directions Fontana has moved in with the fall and winter season now and different venues in the summertime, does that make sense to you? Have you, as an administrator of other series, seen similar things?
No, it's very exciting. The programming is wonderful, and having David here is just a stellar move for Fontana. He's an incredibly well-connected musician and with the music world and as a performer. You can't find a better director than this guy here.
Thank you.
And so there's nothing but good things that are going to happen here.
That's also rather touching, David, that even though you have great connections, it seems that you're kind of returning to touchstones that Fontana has had over almost 30 years. And reminding some of us who've been around a long time what Fontana's all about, and also helping new audiences learn about the legacy of Fontana.
I feel it's incredibly important not only to remember our past and where we come from, but also to introduce them to young artists and emerging artists that they've never heard before, and to be able to find that right balance in the mix.
Speaking of balance, I mean, just on this evening's concert alone, we have a young quartet that just an hour away from here in South Bend in the last year or so sort of emerged onto the world stage by winning the Fishoff competition. And they're in concert tonight with Dr. Nitsch. And
only people who are at school call me that. Right. You call me Paul. Okay?
with Paul and in the wonderful Dvorak Quintet, and music by American composer John Harbison. And maybe you should introduce, David, the horn-playing guest in tonight's concert.
That's Adedeji Ogunfolu, and he is a graduate of the Curtis Institute with his undergrad, and he did his graduate degree at the University of Michigan. He's a terrific player. He's currently in residence with the Pittsburgh Symphony.
He'll be opening the concert with music from the Serenade for tenor and
string, horn and strings,
horn and strings by Benjamin Britten. Benjamin Britten, a great British composer who was a friend of Neil Saunders.
Correct, yeah.
Why don't we take a short break and listen to this opening to the Serenade, this famous wrong note opening.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is the solo horn opening to the Serenade by Benjamin Britten. In that recording, Barry Tuckwell was the horn player, and a very brave horn player tonight will open the Salute to Neil concert presented by Fontana at 7:30 p.m. A young, impressive young player named Adedeji Ogunfolu from Philadelphia, and he was invited to perform by David Baldwin, the current director of Fontana. Now let's talk about putting the program, the pieces on the program together. Will he have another chance to play? I mean, this is about a 1 minute section.
Yeah, they'll also be performing the Harbison, which is scored for piano, violin, and horn.
The John Harbison piece for, what was that? Horn, violin, and piano.
And piano. It's called Twilight Music.
Lovely. All right. We can talk about that a little later, as I do have the CD here. And you've paired that with music of Barber as well?
Yes, there's the Barber Quartet, and then there's also the Dvorak Quintet.
Which is, of course, the centerpiece of the program and the finale to it. So this is a program that you put together. Is there a little back and forth here with the artists?
Definitely a lot of back and forth with the artists. I definitely wanted the Dvorak as the centerpiece, and the last time Paul was here, he performed it with the Gavani Quartet, who were mentors and teachers of the Omar Quartet that we'll be hearing tonight.
Oh, wow.
And both the Harbison and, definitely the Harbison was important because obviously the horn aspect with Neil, and the prologue to the serenade was just kind of a nice way to begin the program. And the Omer suggested the Barber.
Phyllis Rappaport told me a story of putting on the War Requiem at Western Michigan University a few years after Neil had started on the faculty, and it was a massive undertaking and a lot of rehearsals. And just before the concert, Neil read a letter that Benjamin Britten had sent to him, encouraging them all to do well on the concert. And there's a real connection there. Mm-hmm. Paul, have you been here long enough to start interacting with these young musicians?
Well, yeah, we've been rehearsing. Yeah. You better believe it, which has been a total joy. These kids are so young and so professional already. It's thrilling. It's just terrific. It's just as easy as putting on an old glove to sit down with these people. It's thrilling. All of them.
Young people play faster, generally. Are you having
older than they are. I warned them about that. And they've been very gentle to me.
Yes. You can make, if you've got the right feel, it can feel sprightly and fast, even though not technically.
That's right. I'm going to tell you a quick one. I think, and I may be wrong about this, but I remember people telling me that Neil used to play that horn prologue that you just played behind a curtain sometimes before the concert. He would stand behind the curtain on the stage and play it that way.
That's kind of...
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, like a theatrical overture.
That's a story I think I heard.
Well, generally the last movement is played, it's off stage, so maybe that's where you got that from.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
Wow. Well, we're bringing back magic and memories here at WMUK. Let's take a short break to hear some of the Barber string serenade I have, a serenade for string quartet, Opus 1.
Right.
David, why did you pick his Opus 1 here?
The Omer actually had chosen this piece. It's listed as Opus 1. I don't believe it's actually the first piece that he ever wrote, but he was very, very young when he wrote it.
Let's hear it. We heard the Ying Quartet and the Serenade Opus 1 by Samuel Barber. If you tuned in during the music, this is a work that will be performed by the young Omer Quartet, featured on A Salute to Neil, presented by Fontana at 7:30 tonight in the Wellspring Theater. And here in the studio, our current director, David Baldwin, and pianist and former director of Fontana, Paul Nitsch. Thank you again for being here today. This lovely piece by Samuel Barber will be followed by a work by another American composer, John Harbison. Says he was born in 1938 in this recording, still still very much an active composer.
Yes.
Is he an East Coaster, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. His piece is called Twilight Music. Do you have any more information to share?
Well, what would you like to know?
you mentioned it's for violin, horn, and piano.
Yes, it was commissioned by the Lincoln Center Chamber Players in 1985 for hornist David Jolly and Jamie Buswell and one of the pianists, Richard Good. In any case, when I came on, I was just telling David when I came on to Fontana, it was important for me to find a way to honor Neil's existence as a hornist. Mm. And so I asked David, who I had played some concerts some years with him before, to help me kind of focus on what things to do about highlighting French horn music at Fontana. And so we were able then to establish a commissioning program where we commissioned a piece for French horn and some combination of instruments most every year during the time I was here. And some were from local composers, and one was even from one of the horn players who was on the staff of the Fontana Festival. And then a couple of, we did a great big horn trio with the same combination by George Santakis called Dust, which we premiered here at NWMU in 1999. And George Pearl, there was a monster piece for French horn and string quartet, which was so hard that all of them, when they finished, said, "We're never playing that one again." But in any case, David Jolly was a crucial part of my being able to help keep the horn identity to the Fontana Festival during the time I was here. And so this piece, although, of course, we didn't commission it, we did play it a couple of times. And like I said, the Horn Symposium in 1999 that was here at WMU, we played that piece here in Dalton Theater.
Wow, so it has a real history.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful piece. I think it's very accessible. People will like it. I'll probably explain a little bit about it before the concert so people kind of know what to listen to. But it's called Twilight Music. And the further it gets into the piece, the more twilighty it gets. and he points out in his notes that the French horn and the violin actually have nothing to do with each other in terms of timbre or character. And that's part of the breadth of color that brings this piece to life. And he explores the combination and the diversion of textures and colors during the piece. And so it starts rather formally with beautiful melodies that everybody gets to play. And then the second movement is a wild, crazy, really scary thing to play. And then the third movement is an antiphon, which features black and white dynamic changes, loud, soft all the time with the horn and the violin. And it's very beautiful. And that, according to Harbison, is the sort of crux of the piece, the central character of the piece. And then the last movement is increasingly twilighty with very high things in the piano and sparse notes in the other instruments.
Is there any sort of reference to nature, do you think, in this work? It's such a poetic title.
Well, by the end of the piece, you have felt that you have been in twilight. When you hear the last movement, you have felt that you've kind of evolved through, say, a day or some time into kind of an ethereal mood. It's very beautiful, really.
The two young players that you're pairing with to work on this piece, is it new to them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. First time for, mm-hmm. Is it Mason?
You
mm-hmm. and Adedeji.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very difficult for the horn player. It's very, yeah. It's very challenging. And he, in the first rehearsal, he said, "Boy, when I found out I was doing this, I just about fainted." But he called his teacher and he said, "Do you know this piece?" His teacher reassured him, "Yeah, you got to learn it. But once you put it together, it works. And so don't be afraid of it. It'll be fine once you start to put it together." And it is. But there's that initial shock of not knowing. I remember that too. It was horrible. But it works very well together. The piece is well written.
Well, I have a recording here from a Berlin ensemble. Bernhard Krug is the horn player Daniel Blumenthal, the pianist in Janine Jansen, the violinist. Let's hear the first movement of Twilight Music by John Harbison. We heard the opening to Twilight Music by John Harbison, and I'm sitting here with David Baldwin, Artistic Director of Fontana, and Paul Nitsch, pianist and former director of Fontana, coming back to perform tonight in A Salute to Neil at 7:30. And Paul, it says here that John Harbison wrote Twilight Music for violin, horn, and piano, in part as a reaction to the larger scale orchestral works with which the composer had recently been occupied. And it seems you do hear a lot of space in this piece. He allows things to echo in a way.
Yes,
but so, indeed. And that certainly improves the quality of Twilight.
Yeah. Well, even that first movement sounded sort of Twilight-y, you know, ended that way.
Are we talking Twilight metaphor for end of life, or are we?
I think that's totally subjective. I don't have any information about that. You know, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think as a composer, you get paid to write a piece, you just write it. And then, you know, you call it something. I don't know. I have no idea. Every composer is different.
Tell it like it is, Paul.
Right. That's right. That's right. I should call him and ask him if he was planning to write Twilight Music before he wrote it or after he wrote it.
There you go. So you and your colleagues tonight are looking forward to playing the piece, regardless of its overtones of of metaphor. Well, the concert's going to end with the great masterpiece by Dvorak, the Opus 81 Piano Quintet, and that'll be the full quartet with you as pianist, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But David, what else is coming up in this summer season for Fontana?
Next Tuesday, we have the Axiom Brass Quintet, and that they will be performing at Nazareth Center out on Gull Road, and they are all students of the Chicago Symphony Brass Quintet, so they're coming in from Chicago. Actually, they're coming in from Tanglewood, where they're at residence in residence this summer.
Right, that's where I caught them last week when I called ahead to talk about the the concert, and they are having the time of their lives with Tanglewood, and seem like a really fun group.
Yeah, they're terrific, and that's going to be a great space for that.
Right, they're really thrilled. I told them about the Holy Family Chapel at Nazareth, and they said, well, you know, our music is going to work out wonderfully in that in a space like that.
Perfect combination, yes.
Right, we have some early Renaissance type stuff all the way to 20th century.
Yes, and then a week from today, next Thursday, we will be with the Calidore String Quartet at the Ladies' Library.
Oh, you didn't stipulate that they should dress in some sort of late Victorian outfits?
No, but it's such a unique and interesting space. It's the first time that we'll be performing there, and so I'm very excited about that. It's just a very intimate and beautiful space.
Do you find when you tell people about the concert and that it's at the Ladies' Library, people say, I haven't been there in so long?
Yes, yes, I've heard a lot of that. They recently did, you know, this huge upgrade and these renovations and have elevators and have made it all ADA compliant and all of that. So they've really put a lot of work into it, and it's paid off. It looks great.
Right, from the wood paneling to the new elevator.
Right.
To where will you be serving ice cream in that venue?
Ice cream will be downstairs in the library.
Just checking.
Right, right.
Well, details on the season available at fontanachamberarts.org or 382 7774. And anything else to mention at the, is there another jazz?
Yes, on Saturday the 26th will be our final concert, and that will take place at the KIA, and that is the Hot Club of Detroit. And actually that morning they're also doing a crybaby concert at 11 o'clock, but in the evening will be the Hot Club of Detroit.
Wow, and I actually had a chat with Julien Labro.
Oh, great.
Already,
yeah.
And
he's terrific.
We'll hear that on WMUK closer to the concert date, but he said Kalamazoo is very special to Hot Club. They've been playing here since they formed.
Right.
And we talked a lot about the keeping the tradition going, but also expanding the idea of gypsy jazz.
Right.
And he says you have to take it very seriously, but it can be done.
Right.
So about the Dvorak, Paul, this is a piece that, you know, was like an old friend to you now.
It certainly is. It's one of my best old friends. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been playing it for well over 20 years, probably 30 years.
What's it like to go back to open up the manuscript again? And
it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we were rehearsing yesterday, and there's always these discussions about let's do this and that. And this the young quartet came up with yet another way to play the ending of the piece. And I said, you know, they said, what if we did that? And I went, And I thought, no, let's hear this out. So we did it. We can make it work. I said, this is the most wonderful thing because you can come back to a piece of great music and find something new. Somebody else comes in that's fresh with a new perspective. It's just thrilling. Mm. It, you know, it never, never becomes old.
What are some of the things you can do to freshen up this Dvorak piece?
I can play it faster or slower. No, there. I mean, it's just, it's sort of like, you know, in your business, you work on your speaking and your enunciation and the flow of your speech. What can you do to change that? That's the same kind of, I would imagine, the same kind of approach. Many things you can do, and you can't really say exactly what, but you work on that kind of fresh way of explaining something to someone.
He uses so many infectious sort of dance rhythms.
Yes.
You can make it more rustic, more elegant.
Yes, more earthy. Yeah, for sure. No, it's a very appealing piece, no question about it.
Well, any final thoughts, David, before we go?
Just that I don't know if Paula had mentioned that the last time he was here, he had done it with the Gavanis and that the Omers, you know, that's the connection that we were really interested in making, that the Omers had studied with the Gavani, and now it's kind of bringing in old friends and fresh faces and mixing them together, and it'll be an exciting concert tonight.
The other thing that happened really quickly is what that concert that I played with the Gavanis was at the Baptist Church, and about 2 days after the Fazioli, the big fancy piano, arrived, just barely in time. So I was actually the fortunate one to have played it first in Kalamazoo in a concert. And it was the Dvorak Quintet with the Gavani there. So then I got here, and Betsy in the Fontana office said, well, you're rehearsing over in the Baptist Church on the Fazioli. I said, what? I said, now they don't need to go because that piano can already play that piece.
Right.
So well, it is a return.
Yes, what a pleasure to have you back, Paul.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here for sure, Kara.
Well, thank you for coming back. And David, thank you for bringing Paul
you.
And setting up this wonderful Salute to Neil.